Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
I don't want a lot for Christmas.
Come, they told me,
pa-rum-pa-pum-pum.
A newborn king to see,
pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Yeah.
That was the song you didn't want me to sing.
No, I don't mind you singing it. No, other people don't like because you repeat that every Christmas. The David Bowie.
No, okay,
Bowie
listen, it's my fucking favorite Christmas song. I'm not going to repeat it anymore.
You will too.
Okay, my second favorite Christmas song.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
That was a good song.
The very
song,
next
it?
Day, yeah. You gave it away.
Gave it away.
This year to save me from tears.
Semi-frontier. This year,
save me from
the
tears.
Semi-frontier. It's not quite the frontier. It's a smaller frontier. That's why it's called a semi-frontier. It's not quite the full frontier.
It's not the lyrics.
Yeah, that was a good song as well. Come on, give me another good Christmas song. I wish they all could be California. No, that's not a Christmas song, is it? No.
Really?
Okay, what about bum? Bum, bum, aya, bum. Bum bum aya do 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 do. Oh no, that's not a Christmas song.
Oh my goodness!
What was another one?
Boney M. Boney M. I love Boney M. Boney M's Christmas. I like.
What was it?
Like the Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas
Day. That motherfucker could dance. Do you remember him? Man, he could dance.
Do, 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 do.
I wonder if he's still around.
Hear the angels sing. There you go. My contribution to the songs happens at Christmas time.
Do you remember the guy's name?
No.
From Boney M. He could dance. Oh, my God.
The river of Babylon.
I think they might have been Christians.
Actually, I need to get that on vinyl. That would be good on vinyl. Do you have a Christmas album that you listen to all of the time? That you used to? I know you love Christmas. You have your Christmas tree up.
I Christmas, mate. Just I put it up on Wednesday and it's fucking February.
You love. Have you got a particular Christmas album you always used to listen to? You always listen to? The reason I'm saying that is because I have one.
Yeah.
Go on, what's
yours? No, I'm not going to say it.
I have no idea why you've just done that. No, it's not. Tell
me. Yeah, no, it is. It's just because I love her.
Who?
I'm just saying. I'm not saying anymore. It's a bit embarrassing. She's amazing. Okay, that's it. I'm just going to leave it at that. Continue on.
Mariah Carey.
Yes. I don't want everybody to know that I'm a fucking Mariah Carey fan.
You're not a fan. You just like that song. I like that song too. The album.
Mariah, have you listened to her Christmas album?
No. Is it? Is it really?
No.
Oh, terrible. I actually don't mind the Mariah Carey song. We had a song. Anne Murray and Kenny Rogers had a Christmas album that we played on repeat when we were kids. And one side is her singing, another side is him singing, and I've got that on vinyl now.
Oh, how to roll.
No, that's the Campler. That's not a Christmas song.
Them. Know how to walk away. Know when to run.
You better count your money. No, you never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Now, we've got a ton of songs in people's heads. We haven't even started discussing what we were going to discuss.
They're all fucked up.
So, Christmas. This is your favourite time of year.
Crimbo. Yeah, I love Christmas. It's great. It's good and it's bad. You know, I haven't got Christmas at my place this year. We actually have.
Do you reckon that it will change?
Yeah, it always does. Fucking Christmas at my place is great because my place is huge. So you can
I think it's better at your place. Totally. Firstly, because I can rock up.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that everyone just sleeps everywhere. And your house is massive, so people can do that.
Yeah. And then we have sing-alongs and sing-songs and then, you know.
You bring the speakers down.
But one of the aunts this year, in you know, Angie's sisters are all really fiery. One of the aunts this year, we were like, oh, yeah, but, you know, well, and she said something like, the kids are not running around, you know, they'd be in bed at 10 o'clock. And I'm like, will they fuck be in bed at 10 o'clock?
I rocked up at 10:30 last time and they were still in the pool, running around, singing karaoke. Yeah.
So she was like, "Oh, those kids will be in bed." And I'm like, "Well, I'm not going." Like, literally, this full argument kicked off, and I was like, "I'm going to back out of this." But I said to Ange later, "There's no way I'm taking the kids down to a situation where they've got to be in bed at 11 o'clock. It's just not.
It's their day.
It's their day. It's not about us. It's about them." Mm. Yeah, you know. So I actually have to go and have a. I've been asked by all the rest of the family to go and have a coffee with her.
Have you?
Yeah. To sort out the issue.
Just a quick aside. Yeah. Right. Your girls at Easter time were like, "This Millie, this is just one of our days."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Really? What do you mean?" They're like, "Easter is one of our. We only get five of them a year." Yeah. I'm like, "What five do you mean?" Easters. No, they have Easter. Yeah. They have Halloween.
Yeah.
They have Christmas.
Yep.
And they have the Darlington Arts Festival. They reckon that they're the best times of the year. They actually said four, and I said, and their birthday, because then they get to. But that's their excitement, because they have that, you know, so you can't take that away from them.
No.
But so this is kind of what we're talking about, because Christmas time brings along with it, because it is amazing, because it's – you know what I love about it is I love the fact that I get to spend time with the family. I love the – traditions that we have. So we do Christmas Eve. We don't do Christmas Day.
Do you do that eggnog thing? Do you guys ever do that?
Eggnog?
Yeah. You know eggnog? No. It's like a Christmassy sort
of. We used to have a version of that, but we didn't just have it at Christmas. Yeah. And we used to get it when we were young. So we had alcohol.
We've got a version of it.
Yeah. No, we had, I don't know how the traditional eggnog's made. We just had raw egg buzzed up. Then
ours just comes from a can.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so I don't never know where you're telling me the truth or whether you're just kissing.
A version of eggnog at Christmas comes from a can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like as in alcoholic?
Yeah, it's a Guinness.
It's a Guinness? Yeah,
that's our version of eggnog.
Okay. Anyway, so we used to make eggnog. You're taking the piss now. Make eggnog, but it's not eggnog. It's like raw egg buzzed up, and then you have masala. Do you know masala?
Like
it's fortified wine.
Oh, masala.
Masala, right. Yeah. And then sugar. And we used to get given that when we were kids as a treat, like the alcohol.
We used to be given a half a glass of Guinness.
Were you?
Yeah. Okay. I think they did that to
We didn't get that at Christmas. We got that all the time. Anytime
it's not a fucking Christmas
exactly,
drink.
Exactly. That's
then,
what I'm saying.
Jesus.
You were talking about eggnogs. And I said, that's not what we have. We have that all the way around.
What's that yellow stuff that you guys drink that's really potent? Mary got me a bottle.
Oh, limoncello.
Hell, Mary got me a bottle of that one
from Italy.
Oh,
no?
My God. And it was Christmas time, and I was literally, I had two glasses of that stuff, and I was like, whoa, very, very potent. But it's an interesting time around Krimbo, because first thing is, I think this Christmas, last year it was just disgusting, because there was so many gifts brought to the kids. And I was like, they were just opening gifts and just dropping them on the ground.
And not and being grateful for them.
And
yeah.
Literally, at one point, there was a sweep up of wrapping paper in my house, because there was wrapping paper everywhere. And they threw out like half of drones. Half a drone got thrown out. The next day, or a couple of days later, like I sat and I thought, I'm just not going to let that happen again. Mm-hmm. As those gifts come in, I'm going to get them. I'm going to put some of them away. They can do it at different times. They'll open them. Standing there and watching them open boxes just for the sake of having that endorphin hit of I've opened another gift is just terrible. I'm just not going to let him do it anymore, because it's just too much, man.
And the thing
and
is,
I look at everything, all the plastic and the paper, and I think, fuck the footprint on the earth just to produce the fucking wrapper is just like, it's terrible.
Anyway, so I'm like Christmas. I'm like Father Christmas, because I come along on Christmas Eve when you're at carols, and I drop off all the gifts for you guys, and you open them the next morning. Then I go to my family dinner, so we have Christmas Eve dinner.
Yeah.
So we have a traditional massive like spread on Christmas Eve.
But your family's different to most. But I don't know. I could be wrong. It's different to my family, my direct family. Because you guys are all like, you're all in each other's pockets. You're all like, it's really family orientated, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if in each other's pockets, but we do spend a lot of time together.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
I mean, you have fucking WhatsApp groups and stuff where you all share.
So does Ange, though. Yeah, Ange has a sister's group.
So I think it's just me, but my family's very, very okayly segregated. Like
it was weird, because on the weekend they had a busy bee for my sister, And I didn't show up because I was like, I just, because everybody goes around and helps everybody else. And I haven't shown up for the last two busy bees because they do it on a Sunday, and Sunday is a very important day for me. And like to get up at 7 o'clock to go do that is not really my thing. But we do spend a lot of time together. And we do spend like, and but Christmas is a big and important time. We do like the kids do a gift on Christmas Eve. It's a big thing. We do our Santa gifts on Christmas Eve.
So like just explain how that works, because it's good for people to understand. If you don't want to be buying gifts for everybody, this is a great little.
Well, we do a little one gift per. We only do one gift per adult. So the kids in our family get a gift from everybody. We try and limit it as much as possible so they get better gifts. They're not just getting shitty stuff, you know. Yeah. But once they turn 18, they get one more year's grace and then they turn into an adult.
Right.
And then everybody goes into a pool and we spend X amount of money and we just buy one gift for the person that so we pick out of the hat.
So does the person know who's buying a gift for you?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. So, right. So I know I'm buying this. Like I'll have to pick it out of the hat.
Who
it happens.
Who are you buying for?
We do it on Lena's birthday, which happens the day before Lexi's birthday.
Oh, right.
On the end of November.
Right.
So a month before, when we're all together for her birthday, we pick the names out of the hat and we've got a month basically. We choose a gift. Right. And we just... So sometimes people can suggest they want a surprise. Other times they say what they want. We've got a cash limit that we spend and then we buy the gifts for the adults. So anyone over 19 is classed as an adult. So my nephew, it's his first Christmas this year because he's turned 19 this year. So he goes into the adult pool instead of the kid pool.
Right.
And then we do a Santa gift, and that gets – the Santa gift is the – you know, the Secret Santa thing that we do on you know, the trick, the game thing. Yeah. So we do that as well, up to
$20. So just explain how that game works.
So the game is like you buy a gift for $20. So the kids have their own ones, but the adults all buy a gift, maximum $20. And then you pick – I think it's called Bad Santa or something. So you pick a name out of a hat. The person whose name gets picked out of the hat goes and picks a present and opens it. The next person who picks a name out of a hat can decide that they prefer the present that has already been opened or any present that's already been opened. If they want that present, they take that and then they go and choose another present to open for the person who they've just taken the gift off. Okay. And then it just works like that until the last person. So the last person picked has the benefit because they can see all the open gifts and they can pick anyone. We do that with the staff every year and there's always a gift that is is very well like sought after and everyone's trying to get it. I bought my gift for the staff one in the middle of the year, something that was worth more money, but I got it for the amount that.
Oh, really?
Yes. So hopefully people like my gift.
Yeah.
They
whoever
choose,
gets it.
Whoever gets it likes it.
And can
anyway,
it go to a boy or a girl?
It can go to anybody.
Okay. Can you give us a hint?
No. You won't like it.
Will I not?
No.
What the fuck did you get it for?
Because it's not about you. Anyway, so we do Christmas Eve, right?
Yeah.
And everyone comes along. Then Christmas Day is like one of my favourite days because in the morning there is so much peace and quiet. Nobody calls, other than the messages.
Right.
And I get that morning just to myself. It's like heavenly. My sister loves it as well because her kids go to their dad's.
Right.
So everyone goes and does the in-laws and then we come together as a family on Christmas night as well.
Right.
Then every year after that, which normally finishes about 9:30, 10, I'm up at your place.
That's right.
Yeah. And then hang out there for like three days.
No. You turn up at Air Place with two bags.
Yes,
and
I do.
In each bag is mixers of alcohol.
Yes, I've got lots of alcohol.
And then
with
you
me.
Bring in shooter glasses. And you start dishing out shooters to everybody, and you get everybody really, really messed up.
I do.
Really messed
That's
up.
Good fun.
Should I tell that side funny story?
Yeah, go on.
So one year you got my sister-in-law who's, you know, she's really lovely, but she can be a bit like uppity and, a bit – anyway. So you got her really drunk. So we were playing shooters.
Mitch. We got her drunk.
We got her really drunk. Yeah, that's true. So she'd have a shooter.
This
and
is
then
the year
go,
that you were
oh,
about
you
to
didn't
get
do
married.
It when everybody else did it. So you have to do it. You have to do another one. So then she'd go, oh, all right. So she'd have another one. So we're about six shooters in, and she thought she was a butterfly, and she was dancing around the house like a butterfly. And then she kept getting more and more and more drunk, and we kept giving her more and more and more shooters. And then she went to bed with my mother-in-law, and then through the night, she threw up in the bed. And then the next morning she got up and her hair was stuck to her face. Pillow. And she was fucking messy. And she came out and she's, I'm looking at her and I'm like, Ange, get in and clean the, like, get the fucking thing sorted out. Tell her to clean the bed. How's your poor mother? And the mother-in-law came out of the bed.
She came out earlier because she took my spot that night because she didn't want to stay.
Right. So yeah. We moved her because...
Yeah, then I sat on another couch.
Sat on another couch. So we moved the mother-in-law. And then Angie's like, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And I looked at her and I said, man, your wedding dress is in that room and it's stinking of vomit. And she's like, what? Get in and get that.
Do you remember when I walked into Christmas the following year?
The following year, they literally, they wouldn't even talk to Amelia. They just gave her the cold shoulder. Anyway.
It was very funny. Anyway, so that's so the purpose of actually talking about this is because, just like you said, you and your family just don't do much.
I mean, we just don't. I mean, my mum and dad go to one brother in the morning and then they come over to us in the afternoon and then in the evening they go to the other brother. And it's just how we are, you know. I'm really okay with that, but I mean, there's definitely uncomfortable times, you know, at Christmas for lots of people around the table where, you know, everybody plays a different role. there was a great
I think it was Kyle Cease, is that his name?
Yeah, if you get a chance to check it out.
And what he does is he enacts what people actually are saying. Like, yeah. I'm, you know, he's imagining that, you know, the father is sitting there, he's drinking, I'm just going to drink this alcohol so I don't have to connect with any of you here. Yeah. And then the mother is saying what she's actually feeling. Do you know what I mean?
So she's the joker and trying to make everybody connect. And then the sister's in the corner and she's the sulker, you know. And then the brother's in the other end of the table and he's the aggressor. And then the aunt is standing behind him. And
it's a really good depiction of what actually people are thinking, yeah.
If you get a chance to check it out, it's a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
I think it's a couple of years since I've seen it. I'd love to watch it again. But that's kind of what really happens, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I think, but that's the importance of the meld of bringing people together, is that it's important to remember, aside from all that stuff, it is about family and we are all connected, and it's important for people to...
I think it's about, like, there's time, this time of the year isn't always happy for people. There's different reasons why it's not. And I think it's important to understand and have your own boundaries and know what's right for you. Because mm-hmm. I think for me... Like, even like I just said about not going to the busy bee, as much as I love my family, I know that if I'm not honouring myself first, that I can't give there. Do you know what I mean? I can't be there because I'll just end up being resentful. I don't have my boundaries. I end up being resentful. So when I do have to be around, and if there's anything that is tension in the air or anything that's going on, it's just about how I create that space for myself to feel like I'm either I've sorted out an issue, like if there's any issues, that I've sorted out an issue before it happens, or I don't, like, I understand that there's certain people, like there's a couple of people in my family that I know that if I'm going to communicate to them, I'm not going to, like, there's no need for me to press certain buttons and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I have certain points of view that are unique to me, and I know that in a family situation, it's not about me not being myself, because I'm still myself, but I understand that there's times where it's important to bring certain things up and there's times where it's not. You know, I'm not going to just... And I think some people come in, like I know one of my family members comes in and it's almost like... comes in almost for an argument or comes in to say something that's contradictory, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Instead of understanding that we all actually have our different points of views and that's how, you know, because as much as we love...
That's how they get their kicks or their attention.
Yeah, but that's also me as well, because every now and then while I'm watching people enact or say things or whatever, sometimes I have to be a bit mindful about how I respond. So I've got maybe three psychologists in the family.
Have you?
Yes. So having the certain conversations, it's like how they speak is very, like, we're quite direct with how we communicate, just even with our clients and stuff like that. It's like if we're going to say something, we'll say it. Yeah. But they're very psychologist approach to talking about different things. So I'm very mindful.
Isn't it funny how people do that? Don't you think, like, they bring the psychologist to the party.
Yeah, but this is...
Who's at the party? But, the psychologist.
Yeah, I know, but this is the thing, right? I'm accused of exactly the same thing. Oh, fucking the teacher's at the party. Or the personal development, speaker is at the party. Like I do that too. So it's I think that's actually maybe that's a good way to put it. It's like I have that role in my life over here, but that's not all of who I am, and I don't have to be that in that environment.
I think that in some ways you do. People do that to let everybody know that they're doing okay. Hey, I'm doing okay as my psychologist. Yeah. And here's how I'm going to show you.
Yes.
I'm just going to psychoanalyze you a little bit. I'm going to leave you with that, and then I'm going to walk away without giving you the answer.
Yeah.
And I mean, so I think that that's the reason we do it. It's like I find that when I'm around my family, I'll talk about some of the successes I've had in the year, some of the things I've purchased. I'm such a fucking wanker. Like I am your classic. This bloke's a wanker because I'm into wanky things, you know. Like I've done this many.
You'll talk about the car. You'll talk about the developments. Boats, you know,
and I slide it into that because I get this hit from it. I'm like, wow, you know, that's how I measure. Partway, that's one of the ways in which I measure my success. So I think that that's also why people do it, because it gives them the position.
I agree with you. But that's how people see me as well, because it's like I was at a. My auntie passed away earlier on this year, and we went to the extended family. We went to the extended family's, the wake. And when we were there, there were people we hadn't seen for a while. So I'm speaking about stuff, and I can see my sister and my cousin and a few of my closer family rolling their eyes like Millsy's at it again. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So it's like there's definite personalities, and it's about understanding that. I don't know. I don't know exactly the way to put it. It's not about not shining, but it's about understanding that there's like I know that if I bring up certain topics in front of my mum or in front of other people, they're just going to get aggravated. It's not going to make for a – I don't know. I don't know if I'm explaining it right.
I think we come together to shine, don't we? To shine on each other and to shine some light on each other and to let everybody know that we're up.
So this is the thing. I think that when I'm doing that, for me personally, I think that's doing that from a perspective of showing everyone that I'm okay. But when it's real and genuine, nobody ever rolls their eyes. Nobody, because it's like that's actually me in this moment, just going, this is how I think about that situation. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes I put on the hat where sometimes I put on the hat where I am that PD person or the teacher, and I will do certain things that are kind of like acting like, but when I'm real and when I'm connected, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, nobody has a go at anything. No one's rolling their eyes, none of that sort of stuff. And I think that that's what this time is about. It's about really connecting and really coming together and finding ways to connect that maybe in other times that you can't do, you know. And I think that's what I love about Christmas. That's what I love about that time of the year, is that you get more opportunities to do that, and everyone's relaxed, everyone's got that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because 100%. it's not like okay, I've got to get up and go to work on Monday and I've got to have my brain, like everybody just kind of chills out. They've got a couple of days just to kind of chill out. It's a great opportunity to do that, don't you think?
Oh, dude, 100%. I mean, I just love Christmas for, you know, I'd like Christmas to go on for days.
I know. Well, it does at your place, because then we stay, and then it's Ollie's birthday.
Yeah.
And we, you know, have Ollie's birthday.
And then
so
all the mates come over. Yeah. And then, you know,
I'm at your place for 3 days every Christmas.
It's the silly season this year.
So we probably need to talk a little bit about people, 2020, just quickly, in terms of the lockdowns, in terms of people not being able to see family and not being able to, because I know that there's people interstate that aren't able to come and connect, and there's people that have got people internationally that they're not, like, I honestly don't know how I would be with that, because I don't see my family all the time. They get together, everyone gets together at different times, but I don't see them all the time. But when I, like, the fact that I can go and see them is really important to me. Like, I can just get in my car and go and drive there and have a chat and connect and whatever. But there's people that can't do that. And I think that, what do you think people can do to help in those scenarios?
First off, I just think that people got to see, look, it's a virus, you'll get over it. That's what the doctor used to tell you years ago. It's a virus, you'll get over it.
Yeah,
it's
but I'm not talking.
Around. No, I get that. I know exactly what you're talking about. I get that. But don't think that this is forever, is what I'm trying to say. This is not forever, and we're, you know, next year things are going to turn around.
Yeah, but that's all.
But in the, I know. In the immediate, what can you do?
Like, yeah, because I understand that you're saying that, right? But if you were separated from Lexi and Lola,
I get it.
Like, that would be like, mate, how
got,
would you
I've
deal?
I've got mates that were separated for 7 months.
I know. I don't know how they did it.
I was fucking on the phone counseling these fuckers, every day, talking them off the ledge, off the fucking rope.
Yeah.
So I know, I understand. But it's just about understanding that there's a deeper appreciation and level of communication that comes about when you're talking with them. You know, we get, when you're on the phone with them, you're connecting with them. You know, you don't have to be in front of a person to tell them you love them. You don't have to be holding their hands and looking in their eyes to let them know that you love them and that they're appreciated and you miss them. I got a client whose wife is in South Africa with her two fucking kids.
I know, his kids are away. He was here
and he's a fucking great guy and she's fucking lovely. But you have to understand that you know,
he was supposed to go out like a few weeks after and it just got caught.
And so it's just, you know, but you can feel that Al appreciates and loves his kids and his family, and Michelle loves her husband and you can feel it. So it's just, we adapt.
It's finding ways to connect.
And adapt the way you're connecting and do it in a way. And it makes that the words you're sharing are more, you know, there's none of the trivia, there's none of the bullshit. It's like what you said, when you're really with someone,
The rest of it doesn't matter.
And so I think it gets that out of the way and it allows you to be in control of the part that should be experiencing that frivolous conversation or, you know, and then that part that should be genuine and letting them know how you're communicating. I mean, you have to understand, our level of communicating is evolving now at a really rapid rate anyway.
Mm.
We're evolving more now through technology than we are than face-to-face. That's just fucking happening.
Can I just say as well, just something that I've just thought about. You know, we haven't travelled as much this year. Yep. I mean, obviously we did a shit ton of travelling at the beginning, like the first three months, of 2.5 months, and then nothing. But one of the biggest things you experience is being away from the kids and as well, but it's different with kids, you know. Yep. But when you are in love and when you love someone, the people that you love are always around you.
Yeah.
Your family's always around you. If you have a particular moment where you're missing Lola, all you have to do is look around and you'll see Lola.
Yeah.
And her traits and characteristics show up around you. If you're having a moment where you're missing Lexi, same thing, and Ollie, same thing.
But I would do stuff with them. I would say to them, okay, tonight at 7 o'clock my time, 4 o'clock your time, you're going to go outside and look up to that star, and I'm going to be looking at that star at the same time. And let's communicate and tell each other how much we love each other through looking up at the stars. You know, we're both looking at the same thing. So just little things like that allows you to connect.
But also seeing it around you, because you can never be away from someone you love.
It's conservation of energy.
There's always the person that you love is always around
you. Just in another way, shape or form.
Correct.
Mm.
I don't want luck for Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
There's just one thing I need. Okay, that went bad really south really quickly.
What was Queen's one? Didn't Queen do a Christmas song?
I don't know. Michael Bublé did a lot of Christmas songs.
But I like Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
You know, him I can tolerate. The other bird.
You can't tolerate Mariah Carey.
Oh, my God.
I like that song.
Yeah. Didn't she go out with
I don't know.
Anyway. Okay.
Merry Christmas, Michi.
Merry Christmas.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.